When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, you're listening to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. It's the world's number one podcast all about guitars. This week, we've got me, we've got Jay Cross, and we have special guest Dan Grace. That's right, and that even means we get Dan Grace on the Patreon exclusive episodes of the podcast as well. Don't forget, if you tire of just listening to an hour of us a week, there's a whole load on our Patreon. So head on over to patreon.com/guitarnerds and check it out. Yes! And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Back once again with the Renegade Master.
And Dan Grace.
Hello there,
Dan Grace. That's right, we've got a slightly different lineup tonight because Matt's away. I don't know what Matt's doing. He's always away.
He's working away.
He is a workaholic.
He is
these days.
So. Unlike you, who is alcoholic.
Yeah.
Really like people called Al.
Yes, yeah, I'm just a big fan of them. Yeah. Al Vin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge, yeah.
Al.
Jay knows loads.
No, I don't know any. This
I
is
don't really know anything about it. No. So, Dan, regular listeners, Dan, of course, will be familiar through both his voice, hearing him talk, and through people hearing us talk about him. But, Dan.
Do you talk about me?
You listen to podcasts every week. You know that we talk about you. Yeah,
How often do you talk about me?
Oh, I mean, probably...
We do mention you.
Yeah, quite regularly.
Often.
Friend of the podcast, Dan Grace, is what
friend
you're...
Friend of the... Excellent.
What you're known as.
I consider myself a friend.
Recently, on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum, I asked people who they thought their top five guitar nerds were. Or insinuated something around that anyway, and Dan Grace was a very popular name to come up as the most popular.
Who
nerd.
Was the least popular? Was it me? I can imagine it's me.
No, I think it was me. But
okay, yeah.
No.
I mean, that's the real answer. I was kind of just being polite.
Yeah.
You're a pretty popular guy. You know, you try going to a trade show with Jay Cross. Impossible.
Oh, yeah,
you can't
terrible.
Get anywhere.
Well, he knows everyone.
Everyone wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
Try going down Angmering High Street with Joe Branton. I mean, it's just...
I am
old ladies
Mr.
climbing
popular.
All over him.
Do you know, I was... I put it up on the Guitar Nerds Instagram, but I... You know, the other day I was in... Because now I'm working from home. I'm like, you know, I'm working all the time.
Working.
I'm in a room.
Air quotes there.
I'm in a room surrounded by guitars on my computer doing guitar things. It's just like everything is guitars. And I was like, you know what? Well, guitars and booze. But I was like, you know what? I need a break. So I went for a walk. I went for a walk, the 15-minute walk to the nearest shop. In the Angmering Square, the town centre, where it has a pub, a hairdresser's, and a small shop. And, of course, a little antique store. And I walked past the antique store, and what did it have?
A 59 Les Paul. Really? A 59 Les Paul?
No, it was just like a giant coffee table thing in the shape of a guitar. in the window. It was like the main thing in the window. And I was like, I can't get away from this.
How often do you go for a walk when you're working from home?
Oh, never, never.
Really?
But I have got the exercise bike out now and I do intend to use it.
Set a table up with your laptop and you're just cycling along, because, conference calling.
Because Mark just like never leaves his house. When he doesn't have to, he just doesn't leave his house. And
Mark really likes not leaving his house.
I'd go stir crazy. Honestly, I mean, I find it difficult.
I'm going to have to stop you there for a second because I have a perfect example of this, of just this weekend.
Yes.
Where Mark Packham, I've called him and said, do you want to go out for a beer? And the furthest I could get him away from his house was the Albert.
Which is, okay, just, so for listeners,
which is around
a
5 minute walk.
Maybe five minutes. Actually, I would say that is a 7 minute walk.
Okay, six and a half.
Yeah, fine.
6.5 minute walk.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, he texted me on Friday afternoon and said, I'm not doing anything tonight. Do you fancy going to the pub? And I was like, wow, that's not very...
Oh my goodness.
Not very Mark.
He did that to me that night. Well, and so, I turned him down.
So, absolutely. So I said, oh, that sounds good. Should we see if anyone else is about? And he went, yeah, great, sounds good. And I said, just bear in mind, I'm going for a run when I get home. And then like I'll be done by probably 8:30 so I can be in town by 9. And he went, yeah, sounds good. I get home from my run at 8:15, text him, say, right, I'm just jumping in the shower and I can be there at 9. Text back saying, yeah, I've kind of already settled, actually.
I'm already settled.
I think I'm already settled. You can come around here if you want. I was like, nah, you're right, mate.
He messaged me as well, sort of asking if I want to go out for a drink. And listener, know that has never happened in the... How long have we been doing this? 5 years, six years, whatever.
I mean, it happened because I told him to. Right. Because I was like, years. Right, I'm going for a run.
I was like,
text Joe.
My reply back to him was just like, was literally, are you quitting again? I genuinely assumed, I was like, oh, he's packing guitar nerds in again. Great. Yeah.
No. It was me trying to crowbar some socializing out of the two fellas who I know who spend 23 and a half hours a day inside.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for the
but
considerate
only Mark
thought.
Covered in cats.
I know,
completely covered.
He does love cats. But Dan, it's wonderful to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Have we? And I think we have. Now that I've sort of half asked this question, have we had you back on the podcast since you've been a Fender lad?
Yes.
I think we have
well,
like
I think
once.
Last time I was here, I was working with Fender, yeah.
Oh, yes, I think so, because...
You've podcasted here before, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because...
I think it was sometime last year, was it?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, because occasionally when we do...
I think we talked about guitars and stuff.
Something had come out.
The problem that we made is we probably... on this free podcast spoke about Fender guitars because you work at Fender, and therefore that did possibly cause... a little bit of a problem with some of the listeners, unfortunately.
It's a specialist subject of mine, you know. What can I say?
But anyway, you are Mr. Squire now for Fender.
I am indeed. In fact, last time we spoke about Contemporary Series.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was right. Just after NAMM, wasn't it?
About. Yeah, that's right. Contemporary Series was cool, but for me, it wasn't especially something I was interested in. Even though they were, you know, perfectly cool, Fender Squire have since then released a load of stuff that I am incredibly interested in, and we obviously have covered it on the podcast, but it would be great to go over some of those bits kind of again, because there's been some wicked stuff for me on the bass front. We spoke about it a bit before we started podcasting, but the new classic vibe 60s precision basses in Sunburst and in White, that's rosewood board P basses with torque guards.
It's actually Laurel fingerboards.
Oh, yes, Indian Laurel. So talk to me about Indian Laurel. This is the new thing. The first time I saw it was on the Bullet Telecaster.
Yep.
Which I thought was, is that a smart move? Like if you're going to move on to a new wood and then the first time you show it to people, it's on the cheapest model, it's going to give people the wrong idea of that wood.
In fact, I think the first ones that moved to the new wood were vintage modified.
Oh, really?
Classic vibe, yeah. So those were the first ones to go. But the difference is so slim.
Of course it is.
You to look at, they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I think the thing, I think a lot of shops weren't happy with was the fact you have to change a part number. but that's literally it. They look exactly the same, and there's no difference when you play them.
Yeah.
The grain's usually pretty tight on them. And for guitars that are so cheap, it kind of looks...
Yeah.
Kind of looks bang on.
Well, I guess, you know, Fender have moved away from Rosewood entire anyway, now that it's... Now that it's Palfero on the player series.
There's still some guitars with Rosewood boards, though. Like you look at like American Original, stuff like that, the more pricey stuff, you still get Rosewood boards. But yeah, on Squire, it's nearly all gone now.
Really?
Just a couple of the contemporaries are Rosewood still, and that's
really?
About it.
And that's it. Okay, cool. So Indian Laurel boards on the P basses. And of course, an upgrade to the Bass 6, which I was most excited about.
Yep.
Because the vintage modified basics was always great, but the bridge was always a point of contention.
Bit wobbly. But now, in fact, all of the offsets, so like Jaguars, Jazzmasters, Basics, all have proper Mustang bridges on now. So like the number one thing that everyone changes.
Yeah, everyone retrofits those.
Just do it straight up, and it makes
that's
a lot of
so
sense.
So good.
Considering I'm in charge of parts... I'm really not very happy about this because you've totally decimated the Mustang bridge market.
Oh my goodness,
no one's buying Mustang bridges.
I bet that's actually happened though.
It has, yeah.
There's something we didn't think of here. My favourite upgrade, which is a little bit more niche, which Joe Brandon, you might be into.
Right.
It's to the 5-string 70s jazz bass.
Okay. That's an oxymoron.
So
When did 5-strings come out?
I mean, they weren't popularized in the 70s, even if they were out then, surely. I mean, I think...
They were. And they had block inlays
right.
that were larger than on the 4-strings.
What? So they took up more of the upper and lower parts?
So the fret markers, the block inlays, right. were just wider in proportion to size of the, you know, the larger fretboard.
Right.
But the... Vintage modified models from before, the 5-strings, just had the same inlays.
Oh, well, that's...
But now they are slightly larger.
I love that attention to detail on an actual Squire model. That's you know...
Extreme geekery. It's but it's the way it's got to be. They're not designed to be like-for-like versions of the old guitars.
Sure.
But they're like, you know, it's a vibe. It's supposed to be just... on the same kind of vein. So we can do things that are like a little bit wild, like extra colours that no one did in the past and stuff like that. But still, you can have, you know, 9.5-inch radius instead of...
Is that the deal? So classic Vibe are in a similar way to the American Original now. They're doing that blend up, which seems to be very popular, the blend up of, you know...
It makes sense. They just feel better. That's probably going to divide opinion. But, you know, I bought a custom shop telly and that's 9.5-inch radius because it feels so much easier to play, and the guitar makes a ton more sense to me.
Yeah,
it's the guitar that you play all the time, you know. I'm not too fussed about it being exactly the same spec as the old vintage model.
Sure.
I want something that's really playable and something that I can, you know, take out and do shows with. But the classic Vibes are kind of halfway, so they have 9.5-inch radius fingerboards, like C-shaped necks, so they're really nice to play and really easy to hold. But you get narrow, tall frets, so you still get that kind of vintage sound
to them
as well.
Yeah, I'm into that. So I have to admit to only really focusing on the classic Vibe basses, just because I was so excited about the P-bass and the Bass 6.
Mm-hmm.
But what did we see come out on the guitar side of things, which is obviously what our listeners actually care about?
It's a lot of the old vintage modified guitars that have basically been rejigged. So you look at 70s Strats in walnut, you know, some really nice, cool-looking finishes on there.
Right.
Upgraded finishes, changed headstock decals and stuff like that. So they look a bit more like the real deal, basically.
Right, so it's attention to detail.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, new Jaguars, new Jazzmasters. The Jags have block inlays now and edge bound on the necks.
Oh,
it's
that's
just,
great.
It's the subtleties that make all the difference. You know, you look at a guitar that's like... extremely good for the money, basically.
Well, that's right. I mean, I guess across the board, we're still looking at instruments that on the whole are less than 450 quid.
Yep.
Yeah, which is a great price for something that's kind of getting on for, you know, almost being sort of certainly looks-wise vintage correct instrument.
Bang on.
Very
exactly.
cool. And so when it comes to finishes and colours, everything stayed quite standard
yep.
for the moment. You know, the It would be interesting to see if Squire are going to expand, because it feels like Squire have gone from having lots of stuff that was kind of a bit mixed match, like tons of different ranges, and a little bit of doubling up of instruments. It's certainly between vintage, modified, and classic vibe. There was a muddy line between those two.
I think it's it was a thought that vintage modified would have guitars that were all classic specs but had little changes in them, you know, so you'd have different color pickguards, different, you know, different finishes, stuff like that, different fingerboard radiuses and radii.
Yeah,
more than one. But now it's more just suggesting that can all fit in one series, so it just has to be one one series that makes a lot more sense.
So is vintage modified going then? Right. Oh, really? Right. So it would just be classic. It did seem strange because, like, even the names are kind of the same thing, aren't they? Vintage modified means like a vintage thing that's not really that vintage, and classic vibe means like a classic thing that's
well,
not
a modern really thing that's quite kind of classic-y. Yeah.
Like the modern twinges with the fingerboards and stuff like that. It just makes sense to have it all in one place. Makes tons more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this week on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, I dropped a teaser video for the new Guitar Nerds YouTube channel. But it's not new.
I have to say, Joe.
Yes.
The music I thought was annoyingly catchy. You just going guitar nerds. But I have to be honest, it's so much better than that bloody widdly widdly music that you've got at the front of the actual podcast.
That is our podcast music.
It's not good. I don't like it.
Well, maybe when we reach the end of this series,
what are your thoughts, Dan? As a regular podcast listener.
Well, I think that the mixture of apple juice and water that you drank on screen looked like it tasted real.
That was real. That was genuine. That was a straight up whiskey and gin.
Whiskey and gin. That's absolutely disgusting.
Ginski. That's so completely horrible. Completely legitimate.
Is that what you drink at home?
No, not all the time.
Just on regularly. Days end and why.
See, either or on their own.
What? Gin? What? You can't drink gin by itself?
Yes, you can. I drink gin by itself.
What are you talking about?
Who puts tonic in a gin?
I mean, literally,
you are drinking
Dan
one
right
now. Yeah, that's fine.
So my girlfriend's group of friends have a thing where when it's their birthdays, they make the person whose birthday it is drink loads of shots of gin. And then they met me and they realised that I love gin on its own.
Really? You drink it by itself?
Yeah, you just loads of ice, a squeezed lime sometimes. Cucumber.
It's great. It's really
wow.
Nice.
Okay.
I've drank
slow gin by itself, but never.
Oh, you can drink a normal gin. Mm. I'm actually really into that Roku gin, that Japanese gin that I was drinking in that that video. I get through that by the bottle.
I tend to just buy the cheapest. This is Sainsbury's own brand gin.
Oh dear, that is not good enough. Anyway,
you can also put it in your car.
Anyway, I put that video out just as a little teaser because we are about.
But seriously, that should be the podcast music,
right?
I agree.
Guitar.
I 100% agree.
There's no guitars in it.
I don't care. There's guitars in the content.
Right.
Listen,
okay,
people. Yeah. By the time people get to the end of the intro music, everyone's like, "Oh bloody hell! I don't need to listen."
Okay, listeners. Here we go. You can decide this. Go onto the Facebook group after you hear this episode and let us know. Do you want the current Shred-tastic, very tight and quite expensive to purchase audio? Intro music that we have at the moment, or would you prefer the other one, which is also excellent, with me delivering the vocal performance of a lifetime?
I really liked the old podcast music.
No, because it wasn't ours, it was just royalty free.
Royalty free, and so it kept showing up in other places and people kept commenting in the group like, I was listening to this podcast about food this week, and it was the intro music was Guitar Nerds.
Yeah, we actually own the other one, the Shred The Shred Jingle,
that's
as it's
too
called.
Much. It's too much.
Oh, you know, well, the,
it's too much. Like, none of us play like that, though. That's the thing that I think whenever I listen to
well,
it.
Well, this is the thing. I'm
which
thinking.
Which is very rarely.
I'm thinking
add.
About new listeners with that shred music. I want people to hear that and
Joe,
be like,
the thing you need to remember is
like
there aren't any listeners. Like, there aren't any.
Yes, yes, yes. I know. Anyway, so listeners, let us know what you want. We should actually have that. We should maybe consider.
I'm amazed that you haven't done that.
That is true. Anyway, so the YouTube is coming up next week. We've got a load of videos coming out. So we're doing top five weirdest guitars of the 90s. You know, which sort of take your guess. They're obviously going to include some absolute grunge super guitars.
SG.
Yeah, no. And then we're doing
how many pickups?
One.
Excellent.
So weird.
And then we're doing a load of like histories of in 5 minutes. So there'll be
SG.
a few
how many pickups?
anyway,
seriously,
we have actually
one.
We've had a load of stuff in the sent to us this week. So it's time for our
mailbag.
That's right. It's the mailbag section. Dan, you're going to be unsure about what just happened. I paused for the jingle, which I later edit in.
Jake, I thought you had like a little mini aneurysm. Something.
No, not quite. Anyway, so this week we had at Guitarnerds HQ, which is my house.
Garage.
Actually, that's not true. Yeah, Guitarnerds HQ is actually Jay's house, according
that's
to
right.
our
yeah, yeah.
according to
right.
our accountant. Yeah. But my garage is where we do everything else. But we had a visit from Matt Oram from Fidelity Guitars. He came down and dropped off six incredible Fidelity instruments for us to mess around with. For a little while until he's got a guitar show next week, so he's going to come and pick them up. But he spent the day, and I got to ask him all about the guitars. And kind of, I think, whilst we've always really liked Fidelity guitars, and of course we did have one, I think 2 years ago on Gear of the Year.
What was the one that we had?
I think the one we had was the double standard.
Double standard,
yes,
why did you not tell me?
What, when we had it 2 years ago?
Yeah,
you're very into these, so I think we should talk through the range. So well, yeah, what was cool? You know, obviously we've got these guitars.
I've got to say, Dan, I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that, you know, the fact that we've got access to these guitars for 1 week. Joe has brought them all here for us to have a look at.
Yeah,
and
it's
able,
really
to, able to share the fact that we've got these guitars available to check out.
I have,
and not just, you know, left them at home by himself
in his,
and,
in his cold garage.
Photos.
Yeah, thank you for sending me photos. Yeah.
You know, I think even it was 2 years ago that we had that last one. And to be honest, every time I've seen Fidelity guitars since, it's been a guitar show. And, you know, it's great. You do what you can at a show to sort of check out a guitar, but you're never going to be able to hear it.
Nothing makes me want to play guitar less than being at a guitar show.
Yeah, I find it even difficult to really get an idea of a feel for an instrument because everything's quite rushed and hectic. Mm. It's not like you can sit down and really get some time with it. So I've
got to get in early. Get in before it all opens and have a mooch around then. That's the
That is the trick.
That
is what you've got to do. But yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to spend the time with the guitar. So we should speak through the instruments that we have at the moment and also maybe explain the range a bit, because Matt's Fidelity Guitars, range of guitars, consist of three core models, the JB, the Double Standard, and the Stella Rossa. Now, the JB and the Double Standard are really its core lines. The Stella Rossa is kind of a new model, which we have spoken about before. But the Double Standard and the JB are quite similar in that they're both double cut style. I mean, they are 60s super retro, very surfy kind of guitars.
So cool looking.
Yeah, how would you describe the look of the guitars. Am I on the money, sort of being like, you know, 60s pawn shoppy?
60s kind of Italian.
Yeah, that sort of Italian kind of thing. So they're
almost Futurama-esque.
Yeah, very much that sort of thing. So the double standard and the JB, the way they differ is firstly in scale length. One's the double standard is Fender scale length and the JB is Gibson scale length. But also you get a slightly asymmetrical second horn on the double standard. It's slightly more recessed. Now, one of the big things that Matt has about his guitars is he's big into, like, he wants all his guitars are relic'd, which and the job he does of relicking is second to none.
Like NOS, he wouldn't.
I'm sure he would, yeah, because it's a complete custom shop. You order everything from scratch, like a starting price of £1,800 for these, which is amazing. He was saying to me, he was like, "Look, I'd never spend £4,000 on a guitar. I don't think that's an appropriate price for one." So he keeps his custom shop prices incredibly low,
and they look like the type of guitars that you need to play.
Yeah.
They're proper player guitars rather than something you stick on a stand. And
no,
keep
absolutely.
On the wall or
absolutely.
Whatever.
He's very much, very sort of, you know, he's very rough with the instruments, to be honest, even when he, like, none of them are precious. They're guitars, they're a tool, and they're designed to be treated that way, which I respect massively and completely agree with. But
it's more fun that way.
I agree.
Chuck him around a bit.
But the way he describes it, and I think he says it in all his, like, little catchphrases and stuff on his website, is the idea is they're supposed to look very retro, but play as a very modern instrument. So, you know, it's like on all of these guitars, they have a contoured heel. But he's managed to make the contoured heel look retro. It's not like a weird, curvy, sloped thing. It's still quite a sharp line. But it still makes sure you have maximum access to your high end. And then the necks, like the woods on the necks, he does like a baked maple. And he does like is it Wenge? I can't remember the word.
Wenge.
Yeah. But it's
so there's amber tint nitrocellulose on the maple, and one piece torrified maple with a zebra wood skunk stripe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just look like real nice bits of wood.
Well, the necks I actually think generally look quite modern. They're kind of slightly different from the rest of the body, in that there tends not to be, with the exception of the maple one, the necks aren't relict. The necks are kind of just their own kind of, you know, sort of modern looking thing. But
do you know what, though, in terms of like buying a relic guitar, I kind of find that the neck is the most important part to have a little loosened up, if right. You know what I mean. I think half the thing about buying a relic guitar is you stick it on and it feels like it's ready to go straight out of the box.
Joe's going to disagree with you here because he really likes heavy lacquer on a neck.
It's not just that I like heavy lacquer on a neck. It's that whenever I play an actual real old guitar, they still have heavy lacquer. Like, guitar necks don't age the way Fender Custom Shop age necks.
Sure.
Unless people do that manually.
Yeah, much easier to play though, isn't it?
I know. No, heavy lacquer is better.
So mine's still lacquered on the back, though. Mine's still got lacquer on all over the neck.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But it's just...
a little worn in.
It's just that feeling of it being played in,
right,
basically, rather than being just, you know, straight out of the box and requiring a little bit of elbow grease. A little, you know, you need to do a few rehearsals before it's right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these are like an oil finish as well, so they're anyway, they've got that kind of, they've got that natural...
You can see that in the bodies, like the finish looks so thin.
Yeah, they're all nitro.
Which I think is such a cool thing. They're just, if anything, you'd want one that's as, you know, as on the non-relic side of relic as possible, I think, because if you're going to play it, and as this guitar's intended, as a proper player's guitar... If you pick that up and do a few shows on it, it's basically going to have no finish left.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or is that just me?
I think that might be
you,
mate.
That's just me. Yeah, I just rip guitars to shreds.
I mean, he has two signature models out at the moment. We have both of those signature models over there. So
that's public...
Public Service Broadcasting.
Not Public Image Limited. That's John Lydon's band. Public Service Broadcasting and the Horrors.
Yeah. So yeah. Jay Will Goose Esquire from Public Service Broadcasting has a very nice... He has a double standard with a really nice like, I don't know, walnut or wenge neck. I can't remember which wood it is for the neck and board on those. But, like, gorgeous dark neck, lovely sort of warm black finish. But he's gone for, like, a pair of P90s, which isn't something that kind of appears elsewhere in the Fidelity range. Although, of course, you know, they can come with anything. And then Josh Hayward.
Interesting that he goes with the double standard, because he used to play telly before he has been playing the signature. Yeah. So he's gone for that longer scale length.
Yeah, yeah,
feels absolutely. A bit more like, maybe he just feels a bit more at home with it on.
Yeah, I think so. Matt was saying that he has, for public service broadcasting, they use so many different tunings that he's kind of like, for their live stuff, he's a real like guitar a song guy, and all of his guitars have to be able to do, all his guitars have to be able to do like a multitude of things. So I guess making it kind of in line, you know, he's only got the one Fidelity, like everything else he's playing is a telly. So he needs it to sort of roughly line up with that sort of model. But the one I really liked was the Josh Hayward, the Horrors signature model, which is the only one that comes out of the guitars that we've got. It's the only one that comes with a relict, maple, like lacquered maple board and neck, and it looks absolutely lovely, the wear on the neck itself. And
does it have a sloth on the neck plate?
Yeah, I think that's,
it looks like it's got a, yeah, it's got,
yeah,
a,
I think that's his logo. Yeah, there you go. But it's but I really like that. The red of the finish was the red of Josh's lipstick.
All right,
because he wears a particular type of lipstick, so Matt had to go out and find that lipstick and then try and color match it in a nitro paint for the for the finish of the guitar, which I think is wicked. But it's a great guitar. I can't remember what the two pickups are. I think it's one of the foil single coils, gold foil single coils, Monty single coils in the neck, and then the mini humbucker in the bridge. But yeah, for me, I loved the JB. I thought those gold foil single coils were so articulate. And admittedly, you can have that in any guitar, but we have a particular blue. I'm going to post pictures of these all on the Facebook group and all over our Instagram and everything, listeners, so you can have a look at the models that we've got. But there's a lovely, like, sort of Daphne blue JB with a scratch plate that goes across both horns, and it's got two of those gold foil single coils and the trem. Oh, it's just absolutely wonderful. Lovely guitars. And the bass. We got the bass as well. There is a bass in the lineup, the Thundermaker bass.
That's a great name.
It's a solid name, isn't it? Which is in the style of the JB guitar. So a sort of a double cut Les Paul sort of thing in Sunburst with a gold kind of, it's acrylic, but like a gold anodized style looking plate. And a pair of pickups that Matt made based on the pickups in his old Rickenbacker 4001.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's very much got that sort of sound, like really, really aggressive. And yeah, they're really cool. Really, I was really into these. I like everything about them.
I thought the 4001 was only one pickup, or is that the 4000?
4000 was only one pickup. Yeah, 4001 is the same as 4003.
Oh, okay. What's the difference?
I don't know, actually. Stereo inputs, maybe? Not sure.
On 4001?
On the 3.
3's got stereo inputs?
Yeah, stereo inputs. Maybe it's, that's
two
the difference.
Outputs on the side. Sorry. Two jacks.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so I guess that's probably it. And the...
That bass looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really great, isn't it? And he's making some more at the moment. He's making a short scale version.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah, I was more into that. I think this sort of style is more fitting of a short scale setup, just because everything's so retro about them. And just because of the sort of small size of the body, it was a little neck heavy. Which, you know, is not going to bug everyone, but I think like the short scaleness will certainly rectify that. And because I think Matt always wants access, you know, because playability is so key. So you notice like you can easily access every single fret on this guitar. It means the neck sits so far out of the body that there was a little bit too much distance for me. I was reaching a bit too far for the low end. But on a short scale, I'll be absolutely well into that. The Stella Rosa is probably the weirdest and most interesting one. We spoke about it recently because there was a shell pink one at the Birmingham Guitar Show, but and that we posted it on the group, and I think it had like a slightly mixed response because there's so much metal work going on there.
Yeah.
So they come fitted with three P90 pickups, but rehoused in this sort of they're these Monty's P90s that come in this weird sort of black and chrome finish, and then they have this these weird pickup rings that Matt's designed himself that are quite large, and then you've got the you've got the large trem system on there as well. So
yeah, there really is a lot of metal going on there, and I mean I think it looks great. I just there's and I said this in the group, it's just there's just a bit too much going on. I think the shape is amazing, and I think the colour is amazing. But if it was a hardtail with a single P90, I think that'd be absolute winner.
Yeah.
Absolute winner.
Have you lifted up one of the Stellarosas? They're heavy.
They're heavy, yeah. Weighed a lot because of the amount of metal. Yeah, there was a weight to it. But I have to say, the body shape, like just to sit with, I found very, very comfortable. That's also Gibson scale length, that one.
It looks great. It looks really great. There's just, yeah, as I say, there's just a bit too much going on.
Yeah.
But it's cool that he's doing some real different stuff, you know, not playing it safe, making some big strides, doing something really different. Well, it's really cool.
This is something I was talking to him about when he was down here. Like, you think, and you know, listeners who are states based, I guess aren't going to see this as much, but certainly I think the UK custom shop for guitars is quite specific and a little stagnated. It's very, very Fender custom shop copy, like direct copy, orientated,
or Gibson copy,
exactly. Yeah. And if it's not one of those two things, then it's like a ridiculous sort of sported.
Yeah.
Sort of very, very curved, like those people that take ergonomics to the nth degree. Is one of those two things, it tends to be. And that's really what dominates it. And that's fine. There's places for both of that. I very much like both of those guitars in their own way. But for me, and there are certainly companies in America doing this sort of pawn shop made modern style guitar. But I was like, man, I can't think of another UK builder do this. And I think
that's it's that doing kind of pawn shoppy stuff can be a bit dangerous because inherently.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Guitars like this are meant to look a bit weird, and they're meant to look a bit like a bit bad, you know, and not quite finished.
A bit 60s, what they thought the future was.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly it though. And I think it's so easy to get wrong if you do stray from the path, you know.
Yeah.
But the Fidelity stuff is quality. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, a big part of these smaller brands guitars that I find difficult to get on with, but in this case, I absolutely get on with it, is the shape of the headstock.
Yeah, totally.
The Fidelity headstock. It's wicked, isn't
I think
it?
It's fantastic. Yeah, I think it's great.
No, you're completely right.
But it's so difficult to find that,
yeah.
You know?
I'm a big fan of the logo, actually, as well. The block lettering and everything. I really like it, but the headstock is...
I think the reverse of the headstock, you know, stamping handcrafted in Cambridge, UK, in massive letters on the back is great. It's such a bold move.
Yeah, it is. It's great. They're fantastic. And I love that, like, I love that they're always 3mm thick scratch plates on these. There's another little touch, like big, thick, single ply, 3mm, like, acrylic plates. And he does all sorts of colours, like... You know, you can get that tigery Gibson acoustic style. I don't really know what you call that plate, like old tortoise
shell.
It's
all leopard print almost, isn't it? Yeah. It has a name and I've completely forgotten it.
Oh well. But yes, but anyway, so that was Fidelity Guitars. Did you have a favourite from the range, Dan?
Double Standard, 100%. Yeah. I'd play one of them.
Yeah, they are super cool. I think the double standards that we had were Public Service Broadcasting Signature, and we had one in Burgundy Mist, which was
hardtail.
Yeah, it was a hardtail Burgundy Mist with a pair of the mini humbuckers on there.
I'd go hardtail, but I'd want Olympic White. Hint.
What pickups would you have? Would you just have one?
Oh, it's difficult. Yes, I just have one.
Just one, what, mini bucker in the bridge?
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Not a gold foil single coil?
No. I think it's something like that. I think I'd have to have something that's a little bit different. Or like a P90.
Yeah.
Probably a P90.
Maybe one of the Rehouse P90s. They are super, super cool guitars. I was really, really impressed with them. I was there asking Matt like questions all day and trying to think about all the things that I would try and talk about in the podcast, and I feel like there's loads that I've forgotten that I've missed out, so I might even go a bit more in depth on some of the Fidelity range in like a Patreon special at some point in the future or something. But I really like these guitars. They're very cool, and I think when you're looking at a UK custom shop starting at £1,800, I think that is pretty good. Now, we also, this week in the mailbag, received from across the pond, we got the new Fuzz Rocious Knobjorn, which we all got to try out today, because I brought it round to Jay's. One of the coolest, weirdest looking pedals.
It is weird, isn't it? Massive. Well, I mean, there's a big knob on the middle of it.
Yeah, massive knob. And, of course, I was learning the origins of the word jawn as well, which is a very...
So jawn is like a Philadelphia term.
Philly-only term. Yeah, like even the rest of America don't know what it means.
Even like our... Well, I think people know what it means, but like it is a very, very Philadelphia saying. Right. It just means like thing or like that.
Yeah.
It's just like a very abstract term for, oh yeah, you know, give me that jawn, or like... You know, oh yeah, that jawn over there, yeah, pass that over here, or oh yeah, and like songs are, oh yeah, great jawn. Like, it can mean basically anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty.
I know
weird.
This obviously as a expert in Philadelphia.
You are Philly law.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The resident expert.
Yeah. That's,
America expert.
America expert. That's me. Yeah.
So Dan, remind me the knob jawn. It's quite complicated. It's all about digital octaves going up and down.
Yep. So there is a... I'm too far away from the mic, apparently. Look at that. The inner workings of the guitar nerds. So you can have a really dirty monophonic octave up, and then there is... And that's analog. And then there is a digital octave up and down in it as well. And the knob blends between the two.
Yeah.
So we had a little go on it earlier. And that analog sound really is filthy.
Yeah, it's very filthy. The whole thing I was finding is quite... is quite ring moddy. Like, I know it's described as something completely different, but I'd certainly use this pedal in the same... In the same way that you would use a ring mod. Like, you'd never use it like...
How is that?
Well, you'd use it for sort of like weird, like 8-bit sort of synthy sounds.
Yeah, of course.
But
in every pop studio.
But you know, when I hear
oh, of course.
When I hear analog down, I'm thinking like Boss OC2. And it's very, very much not that. There is nothing organic about this pedal in a very positive way. This is a really a really stuttery.
It's definitely not subtle.
There is a blend, so you can blend in the control, but it's a really, really dead sound, like really heavily gated, very, very 8-bit sound.
So the
it's like a more controllable ring mod.
The description that Dan was reading to me whilst I was making dinner. And yes. You were playing on the guitar.
Yes.
Because I'm the Cinderella in this story.
You are.
Is that it's the one of the only or the only
the first octave pedal on the market.
Digital and analog.
That has both.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah. I can't think of anything else. It's interesting because you do normally go one way or the other. So
It's amazing to fit both of those things in a box that small.
Yeah,
really.
Totally.
There's probably a lot going on in there.
I really like the second unlatched foot switch.
I don't know about that, actually, because, I mean, a lot of I mean, there's not a huge amount to an analog octave, I think, is there?
Circuit board.
Well, there'll be a circuit board as well.
There's enough that Boss can't seem to get one right. But,
Okay. Good job he's not here.
It's a good job he's not here.
He'd have hung up.
He's on holiday, isn't he? On some beach somewhere.
Definitely, yeah.
He's got his Boss making his 20% trunks on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, reckon?
He's going to go out on his
trunks.
Oh yeah, he's going to go.
TR2, the tremolo
trunks.
He's going to go out on his Terra Echo bodyboard.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Boogie board.
The thing is, we're laughing here, but that is what's happening.
Oh yeah,
right
that's pretty. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a Metal Zone towel.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Compressor,
I want
sun lotion.
A Metal Zone towel. Yeah. I'll get up nice and early, go downstairs, you know, put my
towel on the sun lounger.
What else could you have? Beach-wise, Boss don't make the most of their merchandise, do they? How long has Matt worked for Boss?
And we 3 years?
And we still don't have...
4 years?
He practically runs Boss now.
There has been some fantastic stuff. Like the mice for the computer, the USB sticks that were about ages ago.
But we want the BED one. The bed covers.
The bed sheets.
Yeah. Honestly.
I wonder if I could get that past my missus.
I'm pretty sure they'd only be made in a single bed.
Of course.
Yeah, that's
Jay,
sad but true.
I only have a single
bed. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Knob Jawn by Fuzz Rocious, of course, it's Fuzz Rocious, so of course it's ridiculous. Of course it's a very, very specific pedal. I love that it's totally weird. I love ring mods anyway, so this is just a wonderful, really gated ring mod with just, I think, some more usable controls than you would expect from for that sort of 8-bit sound. It's super cool. I think definitely in line for one of the weirdest pedals released so far this year. A super cool pedal. And very quickly, we also got sent a box of Ernie Ball stuff.
Oh yeah, like what?
Gaffer tape.
Some Ernie Ball gaffer tape.
Some Ernie Ball gaffer tape.
Fantastic.
It's probably the best thing ever to be branded by a company.
What colour is it?
Well, it's just gaffer tape colour. That's the best
brown.
Bit. No.
Silver.
No, silver.
Well, duct tape.
Yeah, but they call it gaff tape.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that's an American thing.
No, duct is the brand.
Right.
Wasn't duct black and gaffer was silver?
No, gaffer is... Is gaffer silver?
I don't know. Well, it is in this case, gaff tape. The Ernie Ball gaff tape is silver.
Funnily enough, just this week at work, I was saying we
you know what
we
Fender
really,
don't do?
We should really do some
gaff tape.
We should really do some Fender tape. And I was like, I'm going to get some done. And then we have it. We have it for taping up boxes. We just don't sell it.
Oh.
Like, we absolutely should sell it.
Just flog it. Just nick it from dispatch and
that'd be fine.
Flog
it. Yeah. Just stick up on eBay. One roll. What that would be? £4 quality. What great use of time.
But yeah, it was
seriously though. Gaffer tape is one of the greatest inventions ever.
Yeah.
For musicians, it's, you know, you could tape your guitar back together, you could tape your amp back together, you could tape your body back together.
You can tape Joe Branton's mouth shut when he's like keeps going on about boring stuff.
Yeah.
You can.
Like time signatures.
Have you got any on you?
I once went to see one of my favourite punk rock bands, McCluskey, play, and their bass player came out wearing only duct tape.
Quality.
He was just completely wrapped in duct tape, and he played the whole set on his playing his bass with a carving knife. He's just like, he was fretting properly and then just hitting the bass with a carving knife.
That sounds like at the beginning of an episode of Casualty.
Yeah, I mean, he left the band shortly after. But yes, the band disbanded and then became Future of the Left instead. But, you know, yes, that
was a fantastic band.
A fantastic band. But yes, it was quite a sight. It was quite scary. But yeah,
interesting guitar setup from Future of the Left as well.
What?
Lots of the first album is he plays an old, like really old, knackered Yamaha SG thing.
That's right.
But with
Falco is his name.
Yeah, with only four strings on it.
Yeah.
So the outer two and the center two, and then the gaps in between.
What?
Yeah. Completely mad.
He has.
Is he only playing octaves or something?
Pretty much,
no, yeah. More or less. It's pretty a very, much, yeah. So actually, his whole thing is for every single Future of the Left record, he comes up with a new tuning and stringing option, and often they do include the removal of, you know, one or more strings. And so, you know, he has a guitar for each record, yeah. So you know what song you're gonna get depending on what he's picking up. So
he has first album.
He's got a baritone. He's got loads of cool. It's great. A fantastic band.
Oh, he's bringing out the telly. Album one.
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't seen him play that guitar since 2005.
And you realise he's reused the tuning on the new record.
Outrageous.
Oh no, he will lose all his fans when he. When he does that, although actually that particular tuning he is reusing on a solo project of his called Christian Fitness, which he released on Bandcamp only for free last year, and it essentially sounds like the first record, but it's very, very good. Anyway, we should dive headfirst into some news. News. So, first up on the news, J. Cross, talk to me, speaking about punk rock bands, talk to me about, and also it was, you know, that Irish Day a few days ago, so talk to me about Irish,
go
American,
on, you can do it.
Punk rock go on. Signature models.
Yep, what's the band?
The Dropkick McGregor's.
Yes, the Dropkick McGregor's, well done. So Duesenberg have released, as part of their Alliance series, a signature bass and guitar for the Dropkick Murphys. Dropkick Murphys, obviously seminal.
The Drop Deuce Murphys.
Drop Deuce Murphys.
That's what they could have called them. Duesenberg.
Oh, I see. Yes, I suppose they could have done that.
Thanks.
The Alliance series from Duesenberg is a, I guess it's kind of signature guitars, but they, I mean, yeah, it's just what they call their signature guitars. What I find quite interesting about this is that it's, because it's a series, there's both a guitar and a bass. It isn't, you know, named after one member of the band,
right?
Which I think is quite a good way to go about it. When I mean, name the bass player from the Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, obviously, I know it's Ken Casey, but that's you know, that's just me, I suppose. Left-handed bass player. So this is available in left and right-handed,
right,
which is really good. But yeah, looks cool. Looks cool. It's kind of a F-hole, it looks
double
like
cutaway, double 335 cutaway.
I guess it's like a 339, the guitar anyway, kind of that sort of size. Very weird burst on it. It's kind of, I don't know what they've called it, but it is, oh, here you go, colors and variations. What is it?
It's like a sparkle turquoise to black. Now this is something...
Catalina Green Burst, of course. Okay. It was right there on the tip of my tongue.
But that is something that Duesenberg have used before. It's like it's not a specific color for the Dropkick Murphys. That
is
just a color that they do some guitars in. But yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, really good. And the bass looks great. The bass has got kind of a floating tailpiece. And yeah, it looks fantastic. That color is amazing. I'm not a huge green fan in general, but this is a really lovely sparkle Really cool looking guitars.
We don't often talk about Duesenberg on the podcast, and I've got a lot of time for that company because what they do in a similar way to, I guess, what we were talking about, Fidelity, is they take classic looking instruments and then they remove all those things that make classic looking instruments rubbish to play. And one thing that Duesenberg do really well is they make hollow bodied instruments accessible for people who want to use drive pedals. So they do, like, even on the bass front, they actually do a like a Hofner style instrument, but it has a massive center block, and the body of it is very thick anyway, so it's almost only hollow really for aesthetics, and actually sounds, they put a decent, like, big proper bridge on it. The pickups, whilst they look classic, are way more precision based sounding, and it's essentially like a Hofner violin bass that sounds like a P bass. So it's a great idea. You're getting something, right. You know, we were listening to the sound samples of the bass earlier, and it's certainly a very modern sounding instrument despite being a big hollow body thing.
That's something that's so necessary though. I think you get those old vintage, you know, viola basses, stuff like that, all those older cool vintage looking instruments that look fantastic. You stand up on stage and you look the part, and then you play them and they just fall apart in your hands. But it's something that's needed. I think there is definitely room for people to make stuff like this.
I keep almost buying an old 60s Hofner President basses, and Mark Packham keeps talking me out of them.
Don't do it.
They go for like less than £1,000 for a 1960s instrument, like an old Hofner, like big hollow body. But the fact is, I'm not going to be able to play anything, and I'm not going to be able to use any drive pedals. I probably can't even turn my amp up and like use.
They absolutely squeal at you when you crank them up. But they're not designed for that, you know.
No, of course.
If you're playing, you know, acoustic stuff, or you're jamming quietly, or you're playing, you know, some pretty low key sort of country stuff, you'd be fine. But doing the sort of stuff, you know, doing turbo progressive nut job music like you love. You know, you're not going to be able to crank it up at all.
No.
Also, is Tim going to be up for playing that upside down?
Yeah, exactly. Almost definitely.
So, speaking of, I think we've talked about this before, but speaking of the Hofner and President series.
Yeah.
The Hofner President is, and I'm piecing together two sources here, but right. There is an argument that suggests that the Hofner President was maybe, and I'm probably going to get people yelling at me now, but the Hofner President was maybe the first
Beatles bass.
No.
Oh.
Electric.
Because it was.
Electric bass in the UK.
Oh, really?
And possibly.
There was a 50s and a 60s one with a different pickup spec.
Possibly the first person to own a electric bass in the UK was Chas Hodges from Chas and Dave.
All right, and that's the end of the podcast. Thanks very much, everyone.
who bought a Hofner President in 1959.
Oh, that's outrageous. That's really cool if that is true.
One of his last tweets was a picture of the Hofner President saying, yeah, bought this in 1959, still use it, bloody lovely. Bloody lovely. It's so good. He's absolute legend.
Yeah, amazing. What a hero. Dan Grace.
I take it back. They're still going. Those old basses, still going.
Chas Hodges still knows how to play them.
Dan Grace, talk to me about the fact that Dan Electro have released an absolutely gorgeous new guitar.
Mate, 64S and 64XT, they look absolutely fantastic. They sound here, when an A-list artist called and asked us to make this guitar, how could we say, no way, Jose? We think that's a guy called Ray Kennedy.
We don't know.
But we don't really know. But, I mean, I think it is.
Anyway,
it's real cool, 60s looking, kind of, well, basically like a Stratocaster setup, really. Three singles, volume, two-tone, kind of a Strat-style input jack and a reverse headstock. They look pretty cool. The one I really, really like is the XT, though.
But but what makes the Strat different is the body shape.
Oh, of course, because you've got like a Mosrite style body
shape. It's a Mosrite body on a Strat guitar with a reverse headstock. For me, that makes this absolutely the coolest thing.
Pretty damn cool. Though, you know, the XT is the same shape. same kind of Mosrite shape. But you've got like the three on a side Dan Electro headstock, like you get on the 59s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Lipstick and humbucker. Looks absolutely fantastic. Big single coil in the neck. Looks just like a P90, basically.
Yeah.
And a Wilkinson trem on there. Now, I must admit, I mean, they look absolutely fantastic. I'm still a sucker for 59s.
Oh, for DC 59?
Yeah.
A DC 59 is an absolutely banging instrument. I've been trying to find... So the DC 59 body shape was released as the short horn bass, and they made it as a 15-fret instrument.
Really?
Yeah, 15-fret instrument in the 60s. Essentially, that version of the neck profile came from because they released it as a double neck that was half guitar and half bass, and the bass side of it they made 15 frets so that it was the same length as the guitar, and they just released that as a sort of on its own separately. But they come up very rarely, and they go for, you know, a couple of grand, and they just look so cool. And I've been looking out for one, and one came up on Reverb like a couple of weeks ago, but you know, the Reverb listing was just a bit shonky. There were no strings on it, and you know, when if you're selling something, you haven't even bothered to restring.
Well,
it's like,
I mean, it's like what's gone wrong there? What are you hiding?
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna put a set of strings on there, and it's the neck's gonna.
And the price kept going down because it had obviously been there for some time. Yeah. It was like up at like £750. I'm like, man, these go for like nearly £2,000 if they're mint. But
they're original strings.
Yeah. Have you got any original strings, mate?
Yeah, original strings. Just to continue on the Dan Electro thing there, there's actually a new stock 59 as well.
Right, yeah.
Which looks like it's got lacquer finish.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very... Oh, because, of course, it's a stock 59. The whole idea with the stock, the idea of the stock series, which is a new thing that Dan Electro are rolling out across the board, is that they are... They're actually accurate. They're year correct to their originals.
Right.
Rather than being, you know, sort of, rather than all the modern changes and sort of cheapening of the guitars that's happened over the years. These are actually, yeah, how they were originally built. These look fantastic.
Oh my lord, there's some NOS flake finish ones as well with adjustable bridges. Which just look...
Who wants an adjustable bridge?
Well, you only adjust it once, don't you?
Oh, yeah, there are. That's great. That's
so
very nice. They do
silver,
yes,
sparkle,
do
gold metal flake sparkle. I mean, yeah, that looks really, really quite nice.
What an absolute fantastic guitar. I'm very much liking the rich blue sparkle Dan Electro. These ones, because they're sort of like the originals, listener, they come with the Dan Electro D on the scratch plate, as well as the logo on the headstock, which is super duper cool. Very, very cool guitars.
Luxurious.
Yes, they are very luxurious indeed. Now, we actually have quite a bit more news, including a relatively major announcement. But Jay Cross, we're out of time.
Well, that's fine. We'll just talk about it next week.
We're going to talk about the rest of the news next week, which will include some very exciting things from Jay Cross's area of expertise at Fender. But for now, yes, we will be continuing over on the Patreon version of the podcast, where from as little as $1 a month you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and Hall of Fame mini series as well. And $10 a month makes you one of our executive producers and gets your name read out in one breath by me. Now, Dan, normally I'm given some backing music.
I'm trying to think of something here.
No, you know what you're going to do.
What?
You're going to sing the Guitar Nerds theme.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Underneath. we've got new 10 tiers this week, actually, so this is going to be extra hard for me.
New 10 tiers?
New people in the $10 tier. Right, okay. So here we go. You ready?
Who's going to do what then?
I guess I'll say Guitar Nerds.
And I'll say Guitar Nerds.
And you can say Guitar Nerds as well. And okay, we just make sure that Don't be too close.
Yeah,
to the
give
mic.
It some distance from the mic so
oh,
that because we need
production.
Yeah,
value,
well, you're
see.
My backing singers, and people need to hear their names. They're literally paying $10 a month.
I tell you
for
what,
this.
Joe. What we should do is you stay here and read the voices out.
Okay.
And me and Dan,
the voices. I'll read the voices.
Read the names out, and Dan and I will go somewhere else, and 100% we'll definitely come back.
Thanks, man.
Is that
right? That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay, fine. If you can just let yourself out when you're done, go
all
to
right,
the pub.
Here we go.
Yeah. See ya. I'm off.
Okay, wait, you ready?
Yep.
So I'll go in 4-4 and you go in 4-3. 3-4.
John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Cool, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hedge, Ron Quant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emmy James Baker, Juan Toya, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lawson, Hans Arms, Robin Schmidt, Derek Ritz, Chris Connors, Rob Novick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bradley, Steve Merkel, DJ Marcos, Michael McRae, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Garrett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Stuart Tate, Scott Kane, Sean Abbo, Christopher Walsman, Cap Batson!
See, you've got loads of breath left.
I know,
I don't know
what happened.
Practice.
Do you know what? I had to run up some stairs the other day, and I think the exercise is meant that, you know, I...
You don't live in a bungalow, do you?
No, but, you know, I get people
he's
to bring
allowed
me stuff.
Doesn't let him upstairs.
No. He stays in the garage now.
He sleeps in the garage.
Anyway, we're going to be...
He's got a camp bed in the garage.
Anyway, that is it for us this week, so we'll catch you over on the Patreon episode.
Maybe.
Farewell.
Maybe we will. Maybe not.
Farewell.
Bye.
See you later.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.